Our speakers today are Soojin Kim, who serves as the Deputy General Counsel and Assistant Secretary at the Metropolitan Museum of Art, where she advises the museum on a wide variety of issues related to gifts, trust and estates, governance, and tax. Interestingly, her claim to fame is she lives on the Upper West Side, right by the best bagel shop in the city. Which I wish she would have brought some for us all to try next time, Soojin. You'll have to come back. Her co-presenter is Justin Zarambi. Justin is a partner in Patterson Belknap's tax-exempt organizations department, where he represents a wide range of public charities and private foundations. His clients include universities, museums, and other cultural institutions, artists endowed and family foundations, donor-advised funds, human rights organizations, business leagues, social clubs, other tax-exempt organizations, and me, Justin. Justin's claim to fame is that he got a BA from Yale College, he got a PhD from Yale University, and then he received his JD from Yale Law School. And let's all say we're sorry you couldn't get into the University of Texas, Justin. So with that, turn it over to our panelists.
Thank you so much, Carrie. And we're really happy to be here today, and I'm really happy to be up here with Soojin. We are going to walk through a scenario today to think about the anatomy of how major gift agreements are structured. But before doing that, I think it's worth just pausing and asking, what do we mean when we talk about major gifts? And there are different ways to measure this. And if you go to the development offices of various institutions, based on their size, based on their scope, you're going to get different answers to what the question is. Sometimes a major gift is designed simply by the size of the gift. At some institutions, if we're talking about more than $1 million, more than $10 million, more than $50 million. Sometimes we're talking about the scope of the gift. Does this gift include things including sort of capital work, operating work, long-term changes to the institution? That can certainly be in the major gift category. And then, of course, for the donor, there's a different set of what counts as a major gift. For people who are incredibly philanthropic, foundations that do a lot of grant making, they may think about it in terms of size and scale. But to be frank, if you're talking about individual donors, sometimes that $1 million gift is going to be major, even if the institution doesn't necessarily think it is. So what we want to do today is walk through a scenario that kind of throws everything at the wall in terms of making a gift major. And there are going to be things that are not relevant to all agreements, but I think as we were putting this together, we were thinking about the fact that, in fact, there's going to be a lot here for you to take advantage of as you're thinking about structuring gifts in the future, and you may be surprised how often so many of these things come up in various gifts. So our scenario involves a donor who's a proud and very active alumna of a university. She's been in conversation with the university's development office about making a sizable gift for a while, and the goal is to support the university's desire to establish a new academic department. This is going to have its own building, its own faculty, its own staff, its own programming. The donor's goal is to support the university to provide the upfront costs to establish the department, but she also wants to make sure that the university is able to sustain the department on a long-term basis. And we're in Austin, so let's assume that the donor is the founder of a tech startup. And she plans to contribute both cash and some of her company's stock to the university.
Okay, so let's first start with some questions for Justin, who's going to walk us through these scenarios from the donor's perspective. So Justin, thinking as the donor, what vehicle would make the most sense for the donor in terms of making her gift?
So in broad strokes, most donors are going to be giving out of their private funds. They're going to be giving out of a private foundation, or they might be giving out of a donor-advised fund. And I think when we talk to donors about these gifts, one of the things that we often talk about is preserving optionality. Because often when somebody is making a major gift like this, they don't always know upfront where the money is going to come from. They know they have the money, they think they're going to have the money long-term, and if they're signing a pledge agreement, you hope they do. But for example, you know, if they make the pledge in their own name, their private foundation is not going to be able to fulfill the pledge under the self-deal.